Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here on a Wednesday on the Chuck and Julie Show. True Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com and Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Can't recommend him more highly. We've been having back and forth conversation. Chuck's got your annual physical coming up. And I mean, talk about boutique doctor work. It's just amazing. American Citizen Press, too, just a great conservative website. Coming up at 5:30. At 3:30, we've got Dr. Brian Junedep on Follow the Science. He had a column in American Thinker talking about the fact that now, even though you may have thought you were supposed to take aspirin for hard things, no, not anymore.
Too cheap.
Pharmaceutical companies aren't making
Big
enough
pharma
money.
Needs to hike it up more.
That's right. And wanted to talk to him about that. But also new this morning, the Biden administration is rolling out, even though the FDA has not approved it yet, plans to vaccinate kids 5 to 11.
They can grow that thumb on their forehead too, just like you.
It's like, call me crazy, but shouldn't we have a process? Now, granted, this is assuming the FDA is not crooked and corrupt and all that, like the CDC. But theoretically, you would think let's have the FDA look at it and then say, this is stupid, like they did the booster shot until Biden pounded them on the head. And now all of a sudden, everyone has to get boosters. But a lot to talk about there. Michelle Malkin, by the way, has a great thread on Twitter. The pictures are appalling. A sixth grader at a Colorado Springs high school, middle school, they're forcing the kids if they take their mask down too often, they duct tape the mask to the kid's face. I mean, what kind of insanity are we talking here? And what planet would that not be considered child abuse? Well, I guess Colorado Springs, yeah. I mean, it's insane. So we'll talk to Dr. Junedep about all of that.
But in the meantime, lost one of our great giants, one of the incredible men of our century, the incredible, the unbelievable, the exemplar, Colin Powell. Now, we know he is a great man because...
Brett Baer told us.
Maybe
Brett Hume chimed in.
And Brett Hume chimed in.
So Priscilla.
Let's hear how great a man he was.
Okay, if we could play the Colin Powell soundbite, please, Thomas.
Well, he was a giant whose influence spanned at least three administrations, that of Ronald Reagan, that of George H.W. Bush, and that of George W. Bush. My first memories of him, Brett, date back to 1989, early part of 1990, when the U.S. invaded Panama, a conflict many will not even remember, to take down the corrupt criminal dictatorship of Manuel Noriega, whose administration down there had declared war on the United States. Big mistake. And Powell came to the White House to brief. This was at a time, Brett, it should be remembered, when skepticism about the utility of American military force was very much in vogue. And Powell's briefings were absolutely dazzling, convincing, authoritative, crisp, clear, very much like Powell, the man himself. And it really served to put to rest, I think, the doubts that had begun to grow. And, of course, he later was a major architect of the first Gulf War, as Jennifer described, which was a thunderous military success.
Yes,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That he helped plan the invasion of Panama. And that was in 89. And the name for that one was Just Cause. Or just cause the military
had
wanted
nothing else to do. It's been a while since
had to justify those massive budgets.
Right.
So just cause, and he was authoritative. You know, they took out the entire 12 people Panama army. I mean, it was just a brilliant, brilliant effort. He was a shyster from the day he got into the military. He was a grade C student at CCNY in geology.
Talking about Colin Powell for folks just joining us.
And then he got into ROTC one. He got in at a time where affirmative action could start helping him out because they usually don't love grade C students in the officer corps, but went to Vietnam, stepped on a bungee stick. That was his Bronze Star for that action, and came back 5 years later, whitewashed Malai, the killing of innocent civilian villagers and children. He whitewashed that. That was one of his great accomplishments. His other great accomplishment was a helicopter crashed, and he got the general out of the helicopter after it crashed.
Woo! That's important.
Yeah, yeah. And so he got all kinds of awards, stars, everything for helping the general from the crashed helicopter. What an act of bravery and toughness and everything else. They say, you know, when the idea of U.S. military going in into foreign countries at low ebb, well, too bad it didn't stay in low ebb, because Colin Powell helped bring about the Iraq War.
They didn't mention that.
No.
Weapons of mass destruction, mind you.
Mass destruction. He went to the U.N., gave this tour de force, all lies he should have known were lies. They all came from Amali Chabi, one person who they just recirculated four or five times.
Christopher Steele helped with that. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I don't doubt Colin Powell. So what did Colin Powell do his entire life other than grift? He was a grifter.
Well, and Donald Trump. So Chuck's a little harsher than Donald Trump, but you would think Donald Trump like declared him like Satan or something like this. So Donald Trump put out a statement while everyone else is reading, you know, all this glowing
praise
and blah, blah, blah. Statement by Donald Trump. This was yesterday. Wonderful to see Colin Powell, who made big mistakes on Iraq and famously so-called weapons of mass destruction, be treated in death so beautifully by the fake news media. Hope that happens to me someday. He was a classic rhino of even that, always being the first to attack other Republicans. He made plenty of mistakes, but anyway, may he rest in peace. Now you would think, I mean, you know, Donald Trump once again calls it like it is, and hear from Sandra, don't forget he supported Obama.
And Hillary Clinton.
And against John McCain too. It's not like he was all against Trump. So here's the thing.
Well, he became a Republican because he thought it would be advantageous in the army, and then when it wasn't advantageous, he became a Democrat.
And they refer to him as a Republican or a conservative. Since 2008, he supported Democrat presidents. It's like that's a Democrat, and yet, you know, the Democrats trot him out as, you know, oh, he's a reasonable conservative.
But they still went after him. They said, you know, stained, exemplary general, stain in Iraq, stain here, stain there, but not Fox and all that. Here's a guy who really couldn't. If you wanted to trash a Republican, all you had to do had to go Colin Powell, and he'd trash him.
And it goes to what you said. There is this, and you think
he was a war hero as much as John Kerry was a war hero. These are frauds. He was known as the exemplary in sport subordinate. He was just a brief carrier. He was a brief carrier, and they make his Vietnam record sound like he was out there in the fields really fighting away. He was a joke. A joke.
Well, and the reason, again, the left loves him is because he would call himself a conservative, even though he was voting for Obama, and they would trot him out, and they'd be like, oh, he's a reasonable conservative, kind of like Liz Cheney and John McCain, right? You know, John McCain trashes Donald Trump, helps come up with the whole Russia hoax dossier passing along to the FBI. And then people are like offended when Donald Trump
tells
the truth about it. There is, and we were talking about this, Ned Ryan had a great column up, Conservative Inc., where he talks about all of these organizations and
Heritage Institute, American Donald Enterprise Institute,
National
Review, all the corporate ones. So you give millions of dollars who are purportedly fighting the left when in fact they're enabling.
They're just lining
the left.
Their pockets.
And you have to wonder whether, and one of the articles was featured something from the Independence Institute, which probably on a local level is similar to Heritage. I mean, what are things Heritage? What is Independence Institute fighting for this time? The 119, you know.
No, they're not really fighting for very much at all this time around.
Well, how about 120? How about the LEAP initiative? You know, they love marijuana taxes. They're all frauds.
Well, but it is, and again, these people are so out of step, I believe. And if you want to weigh in, go on the chat room, or you can call in 888-627-6008.
If you think Colin Powell was not a worthless grifter, let us know. I'd love to hear it.
888-627-6008. Or go ahead and you can unmute yourself and comment too. Here will be from Charlene. Unfortunately, he took too many wrong paths. Men will honor him, but who needs the false praise of men? Screams of Iraqi children as USA devastated their homeland. Powell told a big lie that got the bag rolling. My motto is Solzhenitsyn, a lie may come into the world and even flourish, but not through me. Yeah, well, yeah. And you know, that's the thing with Donald Trump from the beginning. And guys, that's why they hate, and we know this, Donald Trump, because he's like, Colin Powell's not a great guy. I mean, I'm sad he's dead. May he rest in peace. But let's knock this off. And he was a rhino, if even that. He's not some great conservative. And all the people who are praising him are part of this conservative ink, where they hope and they wish we could go back to the good old days where the Uniparty and Mitch McConnell ran things.
But you have your chance if you want to go down to Dallas, because there's going to be a gathering of grifters down there. They're going to have Jeb Bush, George W. Bush, Boehner, Paul Ryan, and I'm not sure who else, other ones, to raise money for that great conservative, that stalwart Republican, Liz Cheney. Oh, yeah. Get on down there. Have some fun. Well, have some fun.
I don't think money is Liz Cheney's problem. You know,
no.
Money is a gathering of grifters, LOL. There was another poll that came out as Biden continues to sink. Some 80% of Republicans think Trump should run again. And these the conservative ink people who are the fake conservatives are just part of the deep state Uniparty. They're freaking out because it just might happen. And some Republicans are waking up to the election issues that need to be addressed. And if that happens, then they're freaking out about that too. It's just, that's why the Steele dossier thing came out. This was interesting. We talked about that the other day, where George Stephanopoulos is just trying to resurrect the Steele dossier while doing a story saying this is all totally wrong.
But
we're going to tell you everything you said, even though we know it's all a lie. It's been proven it's a lie. And by the way, let's end the story saying the biggest threat to national security is Donald Trump.
Yeah, not liars like Christopher Steele, the Department of Justice, the FBI.
The FBI, or even just General Milley, who couldn't get us out of Afghanistan without losing lives.
Well, so we should have, who's said the senator, we should have Peter Boyles on. He would defend Powell and like him and slam anybody who supports Trump. Peter these days says, I'm here to make Colorado purple again, bring back the Republican Party. Really? By always citing Kyle Clark every morning, by always citing what's that grifter's name? Jason Saltzman. I mean, yeah, that I am sure if the Republican Party had any vote, they'd say, no, Peter, that's okay. You know, really, you don't have to help us. If you could help the Democrats.
Go help
them.
Yeah, help the Democrats.
Yeah, go help the Democrats.
Help Michael Bennett. Donald Trump woke everybody up. He fixed, look at where the world was when Donald Trump, the economy, energy costs, we got a thing, Xcel Energy is saying, okay, they're going to increase energy prices this winter, roughly 15% in Colorado.
Well, why not?
Oh, exactly. Why not? Biden is begging them to reduce prices because that always works, right? When the president.
Well, Biden's now the new thing that Jen Psaki, you have to lower your expectations.
Right.
That's the time. Not disapprove of Biden, but just expect less because he'll deliver less.
And here's the thing. We don't believe it anymore because we had an administration like Donald Trump's. Remember when Barack Obama was telling us that too, right? It's like, your kids are not going to do better than you just, America is not going to be great again. You just got to get used to it. And then Trump came along, make America great again. And lo and behold, it happened. And the peasants revolted and the peasants voted for him. And the peasants are now saying, hey, no, I don't want to have like low supplies on the shelves because Biden has screwed up the economy so bad. I shouldn't have to expect it. And Jen Psaki,
I should expect higher gas prices.
I have a Subaru. I filled it up the other day, and this was with my King Supercar discount, $50. $50. I mean, I haven't, in my lifetime, I haven't seen that. It's like, are you kidding me?
And Biden's efforts to lower gas prices is to ask OPEC, who gives him the middle finger, And then he asked the gas producers and oil producers, who he's shafting all the way, to you know, just lower the prices. Come on, you can do it. You know,
yeah, no, it's insanity. And I think that that's the thing. Americans realize, wait, we don't have to lower our expectations. What we have to do is raise our expectations of our political leaders and our political class. And the Uniparty thinks that we don't notice, and they think that they can get out there and talk about what a great guy Colin Powell is. And really, all that is those are just digs at Donald Trump, right? That's right, all right. It is to remind us that's why ABC and Hulu had a documentary out there talking about what a great guy Christopher Steele was and how awful Donald Trump was. Interestingly, one of the producers on that show tweeted that she's been working on the project, the documentary, for 3 years.
Yay.
Now that's pretty interesting. So for 3 years, George Stephanopoulos has been working on a documentary to resurrect Christopher Steele, to cast doubt again on what we already know is true, that was a whole Clinton campaign operation, and once again to raise Donald Trump as being the bad guy. I mean, it's insanity. And it was going on for 3 years. So you got to think, I guess they knew sooner or later some of the truth was going to start to come out, and all they got to do is just do their reports and ignore the truth. And, you know, pretty soon we'll all go back to believing that. Well, no, we won't.
No, and it's good news from Virginia. The polls now show McAuliffe and Youngkin are tied, and you can always tell you're an offense or defense in politics, and clearly McAuliffe is on defense. He had to go on and say, oh, I love parents' involvement with children. You know, that was taken out of context. I mean, and then so Youngkin wrote at him how many times he doubled and tripled down on parents shouldn't be the ones that have any input on their school thing. I mean, that guy is running scared, and the polls are starting to reflect it. What'll happen? Who knows? Maybe they'll steal this one too. But
again, the resistance grows. Let's go, Brandon. The hit TikTok song is still number one on the Apple iTunes download, on the hip hop downloads, number two total wide on TikTok. There's a new Let's Go Brandon dance challenge. I mean, that's just the resistance. You're seeing more. Southwest Airlines now says it won't fire employees who aren't vaccinated. Delta won't fire. Then the In-N-Out store said, you know, we'll close in San Francisco rather than enforce a vaccine mandate.
Yeah, I've never gone to In-N-Out. I guess I'll go to it now.
Yeah, I mean, you've got in Cumulus Radio, Dan Bongino said if they continue to enforce the vaccine mandate, then he will quit. A broadcaster down in Colorado Springs at KVOR, which is owned by Cumulus, quit rather than doing. You're seeing all of these people quit. And I think at a certain point, you know, the OSHA has had to say, okay, you know, we're working our guidelines, but one of our guidelines is that they don't have to report adverse reactions.
No, yeah, that's okay. Adverse reactions are good. That's a positive sign. So you don't have to report good news.
Right. Meanwhile, the Federal Employees Union forced the federal government to acknowledge that if there are adverse reactions, that they can be compensated for it, right? So you know they don't like that. Another report came out today that Pfizer has made some $5 billion on its COVID contracts.
All right.
I mean, so that's, again, Dr. Junta, we'll talk about this. That's why we can't have that's why we can't have aspirin anymore, because aspirin and ivermectin, they're just free and they work well, and we can't do it. Here's Cassandra. How about paying for groceries? Talk about overpricing because of the Democrats and the Biden administration. You know, it is same thing. I mean, that's a kind of thing, and this is why there's some hope. Again, election integrity aside, we're going to put that in a little hole over here for right now, and not a hole, but up there. That's the kind of thing people notice every day, right? Now, maybe you don't notice that if you're Jen Psaki and you do Uber Eats all the time, I have no idea what she eats, but if you're buying groceries once a week, like the average middle-class person, if you're filling up your gas tank once a week or so, like the average middle-class person, things are higher. Not only that, you can't get it, right? You want to get something for your kid for Christmas, that kind of thing. All the stores are saying, yeah, don't, you know, how about some of those, what are some of the toys from before? How about Monopoly? Video games, things like that.
Yeah, the expensive stuff. I think it's looking great for Republicans now. See, Republicans locally, not so much. They just came out with the registrations at the beginning of the year. There were more people registering as libertarians, new libertarians, than they were Republicans. It was like 3,000 to 4,000. 10 times as many Democrats, and of course, tons of affiliates.
I don't mean to say anything, but didn't you guys, you and Anil Mathai and Ben Nicholas and Peg Cage and Jimmy Mack, didn't you guys mention that?
Well, but now, you know, we've got this commitment to Colorado where we emphasize what's important to unaffiliates because that's what we do. You know, as we Republicans, we do what unaffiliated want because that's what our party is, right? It says we will poll test what innocuous statements there are, claim those to be
our policy
and watch them rush over to loving us. I mean, it's the most insane thing I've ever seen
it doesn't work.
And then we have Bob Gardner and Larry Liston and all these pathetic Republican legislators coming on TV saying, be sure to vote for that tax on marijuana so we can give Democrats and their masters $150 to $500 million more to dole out.
On the other end, we did find something where actually we agree with both Jared Polis and Bill Owens, former Governor Bill Owens. We had talked before a little bit about Proposition 120. That's the one that would reduce property taxes for some Coloradans. And Bill Owens had actually explained it pretty well. I'll give him credit for that. And the Denver Post today, there's been some confusion about it because what happened really is sort of shows what the Democrats are all about, right? They do not want you, the citizen, to have anything, any say about anything. So it was a ballot initiative that was going to lower all property taxes for residential too. What the legislature did is they went in once the ballot language had been set,
right,
and it was too late to change it. The Democrat-controlled legislature went in and, to make a long story short, changed some definitions and made it impossible then for this ballot initiative, as it's worded right now, to lower residential property taxes, right?
I mean, fool Republicans into thinking that it's really the Republicans who are trying to fool you. I mean, the Democrats.
But I will give Bill Owens credit for that.
Well, it's hard to give Bill. Well, okay, so he's.
Well, we give him some.
He's grifting on that, I'm sure, because he's.
He's
representing some developers. He has not an honest bone in his body. Never has.
Well, maybe he has one or two honest bones.
No.
Well,
the pictures we have him of hawking around an event fundraising for Hancock was,
well, that's true. That's
morally repugnant.
That's true. And yeah, that's true.
You know, people like Bill Owens, people like Bob Gardner and some of the other Republican leaders, it really makes you feel so grateful for the few, the Ron Hanks, the Dave Williams, the Patrick Nevels, and they'll soon be gone soon enough.
No, they won't. Chuck, you're going dark. Chuck's going dark. We're gonna not let Chuck go dark. He got dark, too dark last time, and you're like, human condition is misery. We're all miserable. We're like, Chuck, we need to give him some wine after the show.
No, I'm doing the happy stuff.
Yeah, happy stuff. But let me, before we get, because I want to switch and talk briefly.
I am. I'm the ones always saying, let's have some more happy
you
stuff
are talking,
on the show.
Before, I want to talk about kids and vaccines for a second, but why is it, do you think that, I mean, I think I know why, but I want to get your opinion on this, or anybody else wants to chime in too. Why is it that you get the grifters, the Republican grifters, the Republican media, the corporate Republican media, who always go ahead and say, John McCain, a saint, Colin Powell, a saint. Why do they do that?
Because by and large, the media is controlled by the left, or almost totally controlled by the left. And they view any Republican, like, hey, who's your favorite Democrat? Well, Joe Manchin. We love Joe Manchin. Mm-hmm. And so they love, and there are always tons of turncoats anytime you turn around. And the money is in it for the grifters. And so the average, every once in a while, you'll have a peasants revolt, but they're pretty rare. You know, Tea Party in 2010, Donald Trump 2016. But most of the time, it's the money boys. I mean, just look at all these Republicans going on television saying we need a new taxes to pay for Democratic programs.
Exactly, and it all again goes to their specific things. Although there
here's the Republican Party today in Colorado, more or less. Just they're happy to take table straps. You know, the Democrat, they want to feel like they're on top, so they'll be all going to the party. You'll have the candy man there.
And here's Sandra. Wasn't Owens also invited to Ken Salazar's home? I can't recall who that was for. I don't know about that, Sandra, but we saw the same thing. We saw there were pictures of Bill Owens helping Michael Hancock campaign.
He raised money.
Yeah, he's at fundraisers. Ken Salazar was there in those pictures too. So, and again, let's even take it out of Democrats. I mean, he's destroyed Denver. Look what Michael Hancock has single-handedly done to Denver. Well, not single-handedly, he's had help, but look what he's done to Denver. It's, you know, why, if you're Bill Owens, just stay neutral. You know, why would you even want
to
jump on that?
Because he represents developers. Another one, he's made a lot of money recently, and he thinks, you know, but if any Republican thinks he stands for anything.
Well, it goes back to the Ned Ryan, the Conservative Inc. There is this whole corporate conglomerate of rich donors who actually do not have interests that are like our interests. They're more like the interests of the Mark Zuckerbergs, the Jeff Bezos, right? They're all in this uniparty. And so they want to pretend to be conservative and thinking they can fool us into voting for whoever they want to get up there.
Well, I just don't want you to have a choice. That's what Eli Bremmer's special was, making sure that nobody else could run against Sonny Liston. It was a real, not Sonny Liston, Larry Liston, who was actually a real conservative. And he got away with it because the Colorado courts let him get away with it. And now he's on to bigger and better things. But you know, it's really, if you look down the list of people supporting the marijuana tax,
it's a marijuana tax that would set up essentially a bureaucratic board to funnel your more tax dollars
controlled by Democrats,
by Democrats, cottage groups.
But
yes,
they'd siphon off 10% to disgusting rhino Republicans.
Well, and let's go back. Let me briefly talk about this, and because I wanted to, we'll talk about this more on Friday. But I mean, I was reading this tweet by Michelle Malkin, a Twitter thread where sixth grader showed her mom pictures taken of her at school. She was at a middle school, Chinook Trails Middle School in Colorado Springs. And, you know, we have a fifth grader, okay? You watch those kids, the mask, all they do is fidget with them all day long, right? All they do is fidget with them. And apparently she was fidgeting with it too much. So the teacher warned her. And then the next time she messed with her mask, there's pictures. She has duct tape. I mean, it's duct tape, the thick, heavy duct tape strapped across her face like
that's
that,
really good for
tapping
her
mask on. So the mom, as you can imagine, hit the roof and talked to the teacher. And the mom was in the video, and we'll try to get this off for Friday, but the video or the audio of the mom having the conversation with the school is astonishing. I mean, if I'd been that mom, she deserves some kind of credit for being so calm. And she's like, so now what happened? And then you did what? And she's like, so duct taping the mask to the kid's face, that's your policy? And they're like, well, we're looking into that. If that is true, I mean, it's happened apparently at other schools too, right? Once you start reading the Twitter thread, you can see people saying
there
it happened
your
in our
working
time
for you.
Oh, I mean, what is the insanity there? Now, in the meantime, however, you can have a boy wearing a skirt go into a girl's bathroom, sexually assault and sodomize a little girl, and that's okay. There's no problem there. But if you fidget with your mask, we're going to duct tape it to your face. I mean, that's insanity. Talking about insanity, somebody to help us make our way through this, we've got with us Dr. Brian Dunedep. You had once again a great column in American Thinker saying that the science now says we can't take aspirin and
the
all
science
kinds of other things.
We must listen to the science, whatever the science interpreted as by.
And you're sort of a scientist. I'm assuming to get a medical degree, you must have had some sort of science.
Must have
classes.
Taken early chemistry or something.
No, it's just a weekend course.
Okay. So let me ask you that first, but then I do want to get into this whole vaccine thing.
I have to compliment Chuck on his shirt first. I think we match.
Yes,
oh, you
yeah,
do.
Excellent.
Good
excellent,
job.
All
good.
I can say is great minds think alike.
Well, I know. I
exactly.
grew my beard.
Yeah, beyond that. Leading the blind in the closet in the morning.
You mean that wasn't your media consultant who picked that out for you? Your PR?
Yeah, I got out. I used to have Al Gore's media consultant that said Earth Tones. Remember that?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, not Earth Tones on TV.
Did him a lot of good.
So what's the deal with, we're supposed to be following the science. And I guess the science, mistakenly for decades and decades was
used to like
about,
aspirin,
but now we hate aspirin, huh?
Well, aspirin has been around for forever, really. Started as willow bark, which is natural acetylsalicylic acid, and that's ancient times, thousands of years ago. And aspirin is one of the WHO's essential drugs. It has anti-inflammatory effects, brings down a fever, and more importantly, anti-blood clotting. And there was a big study from Harvard, a physician's health study back in the 80s, I guess it started, and they found that aspirin reduces the chance of heart attack. And since then, people have been taking aspirin prophylactically, particularly as you get older, you have a history of cardiac disease, family history. It makes sense, and it's common therapy. And lo and behold, it has effects on COVID. It's not, you know, a fluke. COVID is probably a microvascular disease. As I outlined in the article, there's very compelling thought that this is more a clotting disease.
Okay.
So the typical course of COVID, somebody catches it wherever they catch it, in the grocery store, at work, whatever, and they have their respiratory symptoms. Most will get over it and they'll have a bad cold or the flu or no symptoms at all. But some, it gets worse and there's an inflammatory cascade and that leads to inflammation and blood clotting. And that's what gets people to the hospital. And by the time they're in the hospital, COVID's probably long gone from their system, other than some remnants. You know, they may test positive, but they're dealing now with the inflammatory and the clotting effects and blood clots in the lungs. And that affects how you perfuse. Respiration is blood traveling through the lungs to get oxygenated. And if the blood vessels are clotted, you're not going to oxygenate well. And that's where people get hypoxic and put on ventilators, probably mistakenly, because that's not the, you know, they can breathe. It's the oxygen exchange in the blood, and the ventilator's not going to help that per se.
Well, but what is
so there's, you know, new thinking about that. And aspirin logically can play a role. If it thins the blood, then you don't form those clots.
Yeah, but you're clearly not listening to the
science. That's right.
What about the science?
I mean, and plus the other thing that you failed to point out here, Dr. Junduff, is aspirin is cheap and most people have easy access to it.
That's one of the problems with it. But I mean, the science is clear on this. There's studies and they show a lower risk of getting sick with it, getting hospitalized and dying. So it's not just a therapeutic, it can act as a preventative.
You don't appear to understand. There is the science. and the science says it's terrible for you. And the science.
Don't ever take aspirin again.
There is a difference between science and the science.
The science is if you get sick, you go home and hope for the best.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate that here we are a year and a half plus into this. And early outpatient therapy is, you know, go home, self-quarantine, wear a mask, fluids, that's it. And now reluctantly they're talking about, yeah, you can take some zinc and vitamin C and D and whatnot, but where are the early therapeutics?
Right.
The science is wait till you get so sick that you can't breathe and you're passing out and then go to the hospital. Then we'll admit you and send you to the ICU where you have a 40 or 50% mortality. That's not the best way to treat this. And other countries have adopted it. India, Japan, others are doing outpatient therapy with some of the therapeutics we're not allowed to talk about.
Not allowed to talk about. You will be banned, right? You will be labeled as a terrorist.
And it's like Harry Potter and Lord Voldemort. It's he who shall not be named. So,
well, let me play this too, because one
drugs
of the
that shall not be named.
Exactly. And it's in the meantime, though, I was saying earlier, I think typically the FDA does its investigations and then they recommend stuff. But under the Biden administration, we do it backwards. The Biden administration recommends stuff and then they make the FDA. I want to play for you a soundbite. This morning, the Biden administration rolled out their plans to start vaccinating kids 5 to 11, even though the FDA hasn't approved it yet. And the CDC then says, oh, by the way, you still have to keep wearing masks. So, Thomas, if we could play the kids vaccine soundbite real quick, please.
We'll make it convenient and easy for parents and kids by bringing vaccines to pediatricians' offices, schools, rural health clinics, pharmacies, and children's hospitals. And we'll work, as Dr. Murthy said, with trusted messengers for parents and kids to answer their questions. So we expect more and more kids to get vaccinated across time. Dr. Walensky on schools.
Yeah, maybe just picking up on that, you know, after we have authorization from FDA and recommendations from CDC, we will be working to scale up pediatric vaccination. That said, it will take some time. And as I just noted, as we head into these winter months, we know we cannot be complacent. We also know that from previous data that schools that have had masks in place were 3.5 times less likely to have school outbreaks requiring school closure. So right now we are going to continue to recommend masks in all schools for all people in those schools. And we will look forward to scaling up pediatric vaccination during this period of time.
Yay. Scaling up pediatric okay, go ahead. Go for it.
I mean, well, my kids are all grown, but if they were going to be vaccinated, I'd want to know long-term safety data, not, you know, take the vaccine and look at things 2 months later and yeah, they're okay. Treating kids, I mean, kids are different than adults. They're not miniature people. Everything is different. That's why you have pediatricians as opposed to internists at adults. And all the subspecialties in pediatrics are specially trained. You have pediatric cardiologists, pediatric infectious disease, respiratory surgeons, etc. Because these are not just little people. And you can't extrapolate if you're going to give a vaccine to an adult and, yeah, we should start doing it on kids. You have to have very good research and I think, personally, long-term study data. I'd want that if it was my kids getting vaccinated.
Well, we have a 10-year-old. I mean, and I tell you what, my reaction is not just no, it's hell no. You know, hell no, I'm not going to like draw the reasons. And then that's
did you catch the part where they'd have, in order to ask any questions, they'd have trusted messengers. Trusted messengers.
Like Dr. Fauci, who said masks are worthless until they weren't. And then he said two masks and then one. And then he said the lab didn't, or the virus didn't come from the Wuhan lab. And then maybe it did. And, you know, these are the trusted people that rather than say, we don't know, they've been very dogmatic with every one of their assertions until, never mind, something else.
Well, and I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I have covered, you know, flu seasons where children die. I think in a typical flu, a lot of times little kids are susceptible and can and do die. And I suspect that more children have died from like what we would consider to be a typical flu than from COVID. And in the, but you don't
assuming,
require.
Assuming COVID is not a.
Well, all right. We'll go with Michael Chow on that too. But I mean, the COVID risks to children are so small. And yet we've seen, and they talk about risks that from at least some of the kids who've had the vaccine, particularly with the heart issues, like you said, the whole clotting thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it's like insanity. Well, I keep saying that word today, but.
Well, yes, the kids that have had COVID, it's very rare to die from it. And when they looked at that, all the kids that did die had some underlying condition.
Right.
You know, they might have had type 1 diabetes or leukemia or some type of immunocompromise that makes them more susceptible. Not young, healthy kids. They're not dying. Flu is different. The influenza, yes, it does kill kids. Respiratory syncytial virus, which is common in kids, does kill kids. So those are all different viruses, and you can't lump everything together. And well, here they are saying kids have to be vaccinated, but they're still going to wear masks. Well, either the masks work or the vaccines work. And if they both work, one or the other, why are we, you know?
Well, and in the meantime, you know, there's, I think, increasing evidence that the vaccines are increasingly less effective as time goes by. That's why we need boosters. And we don't know very much about that. And then I mean, to me, it's just...
They seem to have an incredibly short shelf life.
I mean,
most vaccines, and you get them for shingles and everything else, last, you know, half a decade or so. Other ones last periods of time. This doesn't even last 6 months anymore. I mean, this is a very short, if it ever helped at all.
The vaccine is also was created against the original Wuhan coronavirus, the original alpha variant or whatever the correct terminology is. But that's my understanding is that that's pretty much gone. Now we're dealing with mutations and variations. Do the vaccines work? I mean, the clinical trials were done a year ago, more than a year ago, against a different variant that we're dealing with now. So vaccinating against that. Yeah, I got my flu shot last week. I need it for my work. But my flu shot was against what they think the strain of flu is going to be this year, as best they can tell. It wasn't against the strain from 3 years ago. That would be, why would I do that?
Right. Well, and this from Dr. Donna, I think this is a point too, when they talk about kids with COVID, I'm not sure, she says, how much of RSV is getting called COVID? And I think there's a lot of truth to that. What do you think?
Well, sure. It's how sensitive is the test? This is a PCR test. It's very sensitive and they crank up the amplification cycles on it. And if a kid has a few viral fragments in their nasopharynx and they get swabbed, they'll come back with a positive test. That doesn't mean they have it. That doesn't mean they're infected with it or contagious or anything. It's like finding a few hairs in the room and, you know, you've solved the crime.
Right.
It's too sensitive a test for mass screening. PCR test wasn't designed to just screen the population.
Yeah. Could you put up that screen a second that had Dr. Fauci and Walensky and everyone else for a second? Just put it up for a second. I want to see all the people in there.
Do that. That doesn't work that way. He's talking to Thomas, our producer. It's a video. He can't put it up without it playing. Yeah.
Well, is Dr. Vivek Murthy, or he's the Surgeon General?
Yeah.
Oh, he says
Fauci
he
was there, and Rochelle Walensky, who's the CDC director, is the three I remember. And
Okay. Thomas says I'm wrong. My God. He says he can't put the video up again. It doesn't need to be playing. Okay, go ahead and do that, Thomas.
Thank you, Julie.
I mean,
look at how many of those people do you have?
These are our trusted messengers, Chuck.
Any of those people, how much on a scale of one would you trust any of them to tell you the truth? And I can tell you, as far as I'm concerned, none of them. None of them. They're all cons. They're all crooks. They're all just political actors on a stage trying to destroy our country. I mean, they're criminals. That should be a wanted poster.
Oh, we should take it to the post office and put it up. Okay, thanks, Thomas. You could bring it down.
Or you could ask the question that's always on the internet. What do you trust more, those three or gas station sushi?
Let's go, Brandon, then. Well, what are your thoughts? I mean, because you have a pretty good pulse on things and, you know, you do a lot of great columns in American Thinker. In terms of how do you think it would go over forcing parents to get kids vaccinated? I have a feeling that kind of like critical race theory, that where parents might be willing to get themselves vaccinated, they're not going to get their five-year-old vaccinated.
I think a lot of parents will be very reluctant. It's the unknown. And what if we find out in a year or 5 years or 10 years that they're, you know, higher risk of who knows what?
Well, we just suppress that news. We just pretend it's Biden's laptop. It'll be blamed
on, you know, the latest strain of virus, but those are legitimate concerns. So I think there will be a lot of pushback. I think efforts would be better spent on finding a way to check these kids for immunity. I mean, if they've had previous infection, if they have antibodies, natural immunity is great, and studies bear that out, but nobody wants to talk about that. And kids are very prone to catching this. They have a few sniffles, they get over it, but they have immunity.
Right.
And then, you know, vaccine on top of it, we don't know. The clinical trials were all done on those that had not had COVID.
Right. Well, and
I consider myself an experiment. I've had COVID and I've had the vaccine, so I have both. Is that necessary? I mean, again, I need it for my profession. I can't work without being vaccinated, but there is no consideration of natural immunity.
Well, and I think my
Natural immunity doesn't make big pharma
it makes them nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, when I was a kid, we had chicken pox parties. There's a kid in the neighborhood of chicken pox, and it's, you know, they come over and everybody, you know, hugs this kid all day long. So everybody gets chicken pox, they get over it, and and they're done. They've got immunity.
Well, we had, and Peter Boyles has been making a big deal about this. Dennis Prager said he did that, basically. That he wanted to get COVID and did get COVID because he wanted to develop natural immunity. And you'd think,
he'd you know, his biggest advertiser did the same thing. And you really wonder whether he's informed his biggest advertiser that he's condemning him.
Peter, you're talking, I mean, yeah. We had Dr. Julie McCallan said that was her thing too. She said, much rather get, you know, natural immunity because we know natural immunity works, right?
Well, immunity works against many parts of the virus. There's the envelope protein and spike protein and nucleocapsid and blah, blah. And you get immunity to all of that. So if the spike protein mutates, your vaccine may not provide very effective prevention at that point. Whereas if you have natural immunity, you have the analogy I used in one of my articles. It's like you have a house with four doors in it and you only lock one of them. Well, that's great if the burglar wants to come in through that door. But if they come in through any of the other three, like walk right in. Natural immunity locks all of those doors. So it's a difference. You know, to whatever Dennis Prager's reasoning, I mean, he's older. I don't know his health. So that's a roll of the dice, you know, because he could have gotten COVID and gotten very sick and not made it. But again, it's my body, my choice. If that's what he wants to do, you know, people smoke two packs of cigarettes a day for 40 years, too.
Right.
And that usually doesn't lead to good health or, you know, pleasant elderly years.
What is going on, do you think, and how difficult is it now to be in the medical community? I mean,
well, just the trust for the medical community. I mean, for example, if I got, and I already had COVID, but if I had a Delta variant, because maybe it's a variant, just like the flu can be different. I'd be incredibly hesitant to go to the emergency room. I'd want to consult my own doctors. I'd want to get ivermectin. I'd want to do other things. Going to the hospital, I know a guy just sued down in Florida because they would not give his wife ivermectin. And the court went, no, they get to do whatever they want. So you have a lot of people. I'd never thought before that going to an emergency ward or something would be deleterious to my health. And now I do. Now I don't believe anybody about anything. Dr. June does agree. but I don't believe anybody anymore. I mean, you know, and it's true because I've had a lot of surgeries for replacement because of rugby and football and all that. And I've found out with the help of Julie and other people, you better have your own advocate there, because they are unbelievably good in some cases and unbelievably bad in other cases. And you cannot trust them. You can't trust them. And I doubt if I'm the only one who feels that way.
On general principles, it's better to stay out of the hospital.
Yeah.
If you don't have to be there. So the idea of early COVID, you have respiratory symptoms, stay out of the hospital. Sure, that makes more sense. Hospitals have lots of germs floating around, and it's better to not be there given the choice. But if you have early COVID, don't just, you know, go home and take NyQuil and hope for the best. You want to treat it. You want to have some therapeutics.
But depending on your doctor.
With the flu, they had Tamiflu, that's prescription. But yeah, there's compelling evidence that hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, quercetin, these things can have benefit. Are they cures? No, there's no cure, but they mitigate it and they may reduce the chance of you getting really sick. And it's a risk benefit equation. What are the risks of these medicines? What are the benefits? And if the benefits outweigh the risks, it's not unreasonable. We make those decisions all the time in medicine. Well,
except, but it depends on the doctor's politics enter into things,
yeah,
too.
I didn't expect before that, and I do expect it now, that any sort of symptom, anything, you know, I'm on the Google. And I'm going to find about as much as I can.
But you can't find out there because they're
well, in some cases you can. Well, you can go on a dark web. and instead of trusting,
you really get in trouble.
Yeah, I don't want to. I didn't know Chuck was getting on the dark web because that could really be. If we have an FBI,
oh, the dark web is the dark web somehow illegal? It's
no.
Not illegal web. It's just not Google approved. It's not nothing dark about it except they call it the dark web.
Use DuckDuckGo. It's a good search engine.
Yes,
so
there you go.
A little bit less.
But what about though for doctors? Like I said,
which is called the dark web. DuckDuckGo is considered dark web.
All right.
That's true. Your show is considered dark radio by that.
Yeah, there you go.
Rambling around the dark web. God knows what could happen there. We're going to get like all kinds of like bitcoins, whatever that is, delivered by Amazon to our house or something. But at any rate, about the my question though was with the politics of it, because like you said, all those things you said were reasonable. The problem I think that people have now is depending on the politics of your doctor or the organization your doctor's working
or your
with,
state and the medical
state,
association.
I mean, you're going to get advice that's based not just on the
best,
science
or
but
somebody's
on
best,
politics.
Yeah, on politics. Afraid to prescribe ivermectin, afraid of being charges brought against you.
Well, there's a lot of institutional guidelines, and most of the people on the front lines treating COVID, they're employed by a hospital or health system.
Yep.
You know, the days of your family doctor on the street corner, there are not many left. So primary care specialties, emergency medicine, intensivists, pulmonologists, most are employed by a hospital or health system, and they have guidelines. And you follow the guidelines, or guess what? You know, you work at McDonald's, you have guidelines of how to make the burger. You can't go rogue on that. You won't last. And it's the same thing in the medical world. And it's, you know, independent thinking. Yeah, it's encouraged. That's how we innovate. You think outside the box. If we didn't, then we'd be 50 years ago. But novel surgeries and medicines, this is all kind of outside the box thinking. That's how you advance the field. You have a hypothesis, you test it, you do more testing, you look at safety, efficacy. That's how we advance the field. But to just shut something down because Dr. Fauci or Dr. Walensky or somebody else says no, that's not good.
No.
Well, I never thought to ask what the party registration of any physician I was going to. It never occurred to me. It does occur to me today. It does occur to me today.
Well, listen, we're running out of time. Thank you. Are you working on anything else? American Thinker is where people can find you or where any place else.
Yeah, I'm usually writing there. I'll have something in Rasmussen Reports probably later in the week on Biden's tanking poll numbers. That's kind of interesting. Rasmussen has him not doing so well. And actually, all the polls he's underwater.
Yeah, yeah. And Seltzer had similar results. And
not looking good.
She is, to me anyway, and including almost anybody else, the gold standard. She's A+ even by 538, and she has them down to 37%. Quinnipiac has that the same, at least for all voters.
No, it's not getting better. We've got supply chain issues, we've got inflation, we've got these mandates and workers quitting. You've got so many employees that are quitting rather than be forced to take a vaccine, and that affects so many areas. You know, police, look at Chicago and their police. Their crime is out of control there now, and if you lose 10 or 20% of the police force,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be like a dystopian movie there.
It's
going to be Hunger Games. You know, you go out for a pizza and you may not make it back.
That's right. Hey, thank you for your time. Thank you for
great,
your insight.
As always.
People are saying in the comments section that's the best explanation, by the way, of COVID that they've heard. So thank you for that. And we'll see you next time. All right.
That was fun. Thanks, guys.
See you on the dark web.
See you on the dark web.
Let me know when next time I'm on. We got to make sure our shirts match. That's the way to do it.
I'll do it.
Hey, that will do it for us.
Bye, guys.
Thank everybody for listening on Zoom. You can get all of the podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. Friday, we're going to have Mark Poff on talking about nationalization of police. That's becoming kind of a bigger thing, and that's something we need to be worried about. And we're going to look at the Douglas County School Board as well. Meantime, though, we will see you on Party Friday.
Bye-bye.
BBS.